Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Celebrating 6 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of 2 books, and all-around nice guy.
He's everywhere!
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for hanging around with us today. Happy Memorial Day. My website is www.jbsba.com. And be sure to check out all the different things you can do there on my website, including subscribing to my free newsletter. And those of you who may have heard me recite the poem earlier in the show, the poem that's titled Freedom Isn't Free, if you subscribe this week, that poem is in my newsletter. And so if you'd like to have that, or if you just want to send me an email at askjim@jbsba.com or from any of the email locations on my website, I'll be glad to send you that. And as I said, I don't know who the author is, but if you do, let me know. But it's a great poem, and I think I know it means a lot to a lot of people. Governor Jim Gilmore is our guest, ladies and gentlemen, the former governor of Virginia. He's now practicing law in Washington, D.C. He also is the president of an organization, a trade organization called USA Secure. He's our good friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. Governor Gilmore, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Thanks for the chance to talk to your listeners again.
It's good to have you back, as always. And also, you were the chairman of a commission that wound up being called the Gilmore Commission, but it was actually the Congressional Advisory Panel to assess domestic response capability for terrorism involving weapons of mass destruction. That's a long title, and I think that's why they wind up calling it the Gilmore Commission, isn't it?
Well, that's right. In Washington, you have to be able to shorten everything to an acronym, and they couldn't do it with this one. So
I know, it's just too long.
Yeah, but all the commission members played a vital role in this. People from all across the country involved in police, fire, rescue, emergency services, medical care, in order to evaluate whether the United States was prepared to respond to an attack on the homeland. Of course, we set this thing up, or the Congress set it up, at the beginning of 1999. So we had actually done 2 reports and finished the 3rd report and was ready to report at the time of the 9/11 attack.
Right. Now, the focus was on weapons of mass destruction. And, Governor, as we all know, one of the reasons for going to Iraq, that the president gave, was because we believed that he had weapons of mass destruction. Of course, we knew that he already had them. He'd already used them on his own people. He'd killed thousands of his own people, and also thousands of Iranians with weapons of mass destruction. So that was the reason we went in. As of to date, we found very little, and only recently have we found anything that was anything substantial. And it was one artillery round with sarin gas in it. What do you think is going to, do we know anything more about what they're likely to find over there in Iraq right now with regard to weapons of mass destruction?
Well, I don't think we do know. I think that there was a sense that this was a dangerous individual who was destabilizing the Middle East, and that if he didn't have weapons of mass destruction, he wanted to get them, that he had made efforts to begin to acquire some nuclear material and begin to develop nuclear programs. That's a very difficult thing to do, though, Jim. Classic weapons of mass destruction are considered to be nuclear, biological, chemical, or radiological. And when you consider that this person was highly dangerous, was very aggressive towards his neighbors, he'd already been in a war with Iran in which he had used chemical weapons, he'd invaded Kuwait. I think the president felt that with a deliberate intention to either have or to acquire these weapons, that he couldn't wait for Saddam Hussein to continue to proceed down that path, and therefore he felt he had to move in and take this danger off the board.
Well, you know, one of the things that I was pointing out to someone earlier in the show, and that is that I think one of the reactions that we ought to have to whether we should have gone to Iraq or not is based on the reaction of Iran and Syria and al-Qaeda. You know, the only thing that they disliked more than Saddam Hussein is a free Iraq. That's the most dangerous thing in the world to those people, isn't it?
It is, but it's also a challenge to bring something like that to pass. if the people of Iraq see us as people who got rid of the dictator, and then we'll try to want to try to create a sense of stability, then we have a chance of succeeding. And I think that we do have a chance of succeeding. But the risk is always that people in another part of the world are going to see us as invaders or conquerors or occupiers, and then that creates the opportunity for people like al-Qaeda to stir the people of Iraq up against us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a risky moment. But the goal here at this point, I think, is to go ahead and surrender sovereignty back to the Iraqi people to set up an interim government. And I was on Crossfire the other day, and I made this point loud and clear. And
Governor, hold on to that thought. I'm going to let you make that point on the other side of these messages.
Absolutely.
I don't want to have to stop you in the middle of it. We've got to take a quick break. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend, Governor Jim Gilmore. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Back, it's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend, Governor Jim Gilmore, the former governor of Virginia, now the president of USA Secure, which is an organization that's focusing on making sure that the United States is secure. It's a Homeland Security trade group, and Governor, won't you tell us a little bit about USA Secure?
Well, USA Secure is an organization that is designed to bring private commercial activity into the homeland security arena. Jim, as we go forward, the Department of Homeland Security is letting a lot of major contracts. They're trying to execute the major national strategy. There's two ways to do that with the private sector. Number one, of course, is to have private companies help to carry out those contracts and to do those contracts, and a lot of companies do want to participate in that commercial activity. And the other is to think about private companies and the work that they have to do to help us secure the homeland and secure our critical infrastructure that they own or that they operate. So that's like chemical factories, like the electric power grid, ports, airplanes. There's just a lot out there to think about. And I know Governor Ridge is working very hard to try to bring all this together. USA Secure is a private organization. And we are, Jim, forming a small business organization. It should be probably a low-due type of operation, but it will give chance to plug in small businesses into the Homeland Security arena. So I would encourage people to look us up on usasecure.org and then to give us a call as necessary so that we can involve people and give them an opportunity to participate in this emerging political and commercial field.
A lot of small businesses, as you know, Governor, over half of the innovations that are created in America are created by small businesses, and there are an awful lot of small businesses out there who are creating innovations for Homeland Security. I've spoken with some of them. I've had some of them on the show, and these are really smart people who have some good ideas about how we can protect ourselves, how we can neutralize terrorism. I really appreciate the fact that you're giving these people a forum where they can go and find opportunities for their innovations. And one of the things that I promised to you is, and to your assistant Dan Kresge, is that as you guys are developing this small business arm or a group inside of USA Secure, that I will give you the ability to tell my audience and tell small businesses about that, because I think it's very important that our peace could very well depend on, to a large degree, on an innovation that a small business owner creates.
Well, one of our governmental partners is the Small Business Administration.
Mm-hmm.
And we just in this past April had a joint conference with USA Secure and the Small Business Administration, in which we thought we would get about 150 small businesses to come in and begin to spread the word that there were opportunities here. It turned out we ended up with about 450 companies
right,
signing up and coming into Washington in order to participate with this. So once again, I would encourage people to call me over at Kelly Dry in Washington, Kelly Dry and Warren, my law firm, or to go to the usasecure.org webpage. And let's see if we can't begin to hook people up and make them aware of what opportunities exist to participate in this new commercial activity that involves protecting the homeland and protecting our citizens.
Why don't you give us that phone number?
The number in Washington is area code 202-955-9660.
Okay.
And the executive director is Dan Kresge. So,
right.
So that number again in Washington, 202-955-9660.
Governor, before, let me ask you this question. How are we doing with regard to Homeland Security? What do you think? Give us your honest, straightforward, I know you will, give us your opinion of how the Homeland Security effort's going.
Well, I think we're making great progress. I think that what USA Secure does and what I've always tried to do as the chairman of the National Commission is to not look back and certainly never to seek blame. I'll leave that to other commissions and other organizations. Instead, to continue to look ahead. And the answer is I think we're making great progress. The U.S. visit program for border security is about to be awarded. The Department of Homeland Security has, in fact, been stood up and is working. Coordination is better. But, Jim, let's get realistic here. A free country as large and as diverse as the United States, with as many international interests as it has, can never be completely secure,
right.
completely protected.
When you've got a free society, people who like to move around like we do, you're not going to be able to do that. We have big borders, too.
Right, but I continue to deliver a message, I think, of optimism. I think the one point that I want to stress is that vulnerability is not threat. And this is a very important concept.
Say that again. Everything is vulnerable.
Everything in the United States is vulnerable, and we will go crazy trying to protect and break our economic backs trying to protect everything that is vulnerable, because everything is vulnerable. Instead, assess it this way. Threat is something different. It is not vulnerability. Threat is the capability and intentions of the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
What do they want to do, and what are they capable of doing? They might want to attack a port, but they're probably not going to attack some hotel someplace in Sioux City or something like that. So they don't have that intention. And the second of all, even if they do have an intention, do they have a capability? And the governmental operations and all of us together, we're working to undermine the enemy's capability of attacking this country, and of course, ultimately, that leads you right back to good intelligence and understanding what those capabilities really are.
Well, one thing, speaking of the intelligence, and when we come back, I'd like for you to talk a little bit about this. We're going to take a break in a second, but as we go out, one of the things that has been a problem has been our enforcement and our intelligence organizations. Intelligence organizations had not been talking because of something called a wall. They weren't able to share information. Now, because of the Patriot Act, they can. That wall has been torn down. And I think that's one of the greatest things that's helped us become less threatened by terrorism than anything that's been done. Tintail, stay with us. We'll be right back with Governor Jim Gilmore right after these messages. Stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Let me remind you, coming up in the show straight ahead, Jim Ballard is going to talk to us about getting and maintaining some balance in our lives. Jean Greisman is going to help us with time management. Kathleen Stockham is going to talk to us about how women are doing in the marketplace. And Rick Maurer is going to help us make a case for change. That's coming up in the show straight ahead. We're visiting with our good friend, Governor Jim Gilmore, a longtime member of our Brain Trust and former governor of Virginia. Now the president of USA Secure, that's usasecure.org. I encourage you to check that website out a little bit. Governor, let's talk for a moment, just for a minute, literally, about the changeover that's going to happen in Iraq in the next 30 days, literally 30 days from now. The next 60 days is going to be a very important period not only in the life of Iraq, but really in the life of all people who love freedom, I think. What do you think?
I support this turnover, and you know I'm not uniformly supportive of everything that I see everywhere, but I am supportive of this, and I don't think that it has to be a perfect situation when it turns over. What is important here, Jim, is that we make it clear that the sovereignty and the opportunity, if you will, for a civilized society doesn't rest with us; it rests with them, and the only way to do that is to turn over sovereignty. And to say that that they're going to be responsible ultimately for their own sovereignty. Now, I mean, do not jump to the conclusion that simply because people are blowing up cars over there that this matters. Once that sovereignty is turned over, you can begin to convert this into a matter of the rule of law. And that is what separates civilized societies
That's right.
from uncivilized
from
societies.
Terrorists.
The rule of law. So terrorists are really not, should not be given the dignity of being combatants. They are criminals.
Well, it's just people, like I said earlier, Governor, the enemy of the terrorists is not America. The enemy is the concept of people determining, being self-determined and having the rule of law, as you said. That's their biggest enemy.
Exactly. So if somebody sets off a bomb over there, they're not some freedom fighter someplace. They're a criminal. And the
right.
only way to do that is to make the law accountable to the people of Iraq themselves, which means we have to have a quick turnover. We have to have people who are there only to set up elections and then have those elections. And then no matter who votes or what it is, you have a democracy with a freely elected government, and that government then begins to enforce, make laws and enforce laws. And
how
that's the only thing that you can do.
How long do you think Americans' forces will be in Iraq?
Well, I don't know. I think that it depends upon the situation over there. But you got to get it on the right path, and I think that we're about to do that.
Yeah. Governor, it's Memorial Day. And I wanted to spend just a little bit of time talking about that. I'd just like to get your thoughts, your reflections on this very important, solemn day.
Well, I mean, the great thing about being on your show is it reminds us that really Memorial Day is in the hearts and minds of people everywhere, not just in people in Washington, D.C. It's in the minds of everybody in every city and every village and every rural area in America. That's where the soldiers have come from that have fought our wars. That's where soldiers are coming from now who are participating in our military, members of our own families that are out there, friends, family friends that are out there in the American uniform fighting for what is right for this country and for what is right for all people. And this is a really important day, and I'm glad to have a chance to speak to your listeners on a day in which we can remember the people who have fought and the people who are fighting now.
Right. Well, you know, the thing that we have to remember, Governor, and I know that you know this as a former member of the military as I am, you know, we have to realize that it's like that poem said that I mentioned earlier, freedom isn't free. You know, we may want peace, but we all want peace, but peace comes at a cost. I mean, sometimes the first answer to a prayer for peace is war. And that's not, we don't like that, but it's a reality, isn't it?
Well, certainly World War II taught us that, and other wars have as well. We certainly should be careful what fights we pick and make sure that we're fighting for the right reasons. But Americans, at least, are different from other people in that we've always tried to be idealistic and to do the right thing, and I think we are now.
One of the things that Powell, Secretary of State Powell said, we're the only country that has ever conquered and then given the country back, the country back to their, to the people we conquered, and all we asked for was enough land to bury our dead.
I certainly don't think that conquest is the American goal, but we have to do two things. Number one, we have to make sure that our own people, are safe and not threatened mm-hmm. by foreign powers or foreign ideologies or semi-fascist type of organizations that want to mm-hmm. do harm to us. And second of all, we want to do what is, we have a philosophical belief that if you bring liberty and democracy to people, then they are not a threat to the United
right.
States
Absolutely.
Or to our allies.
When goods cross borders, armies don't. And that's what we need to do is get freedom and the free enterprise system installed over there. Thank you, Governor Gilmore, for being here. Good job today.
Great. Thank you, Jim.
Happy Memorial Day.
And happy Memorial Day to you and to all your listeners.
We'll see you next time. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and to each and every one of you, have a very safe, happy Memorial Day. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.